The following program is for adult audiences only.
The Podcast Playground.
Hooray! The husband's lost his sex drive. So one night, he's sitting in the living room reading the paper. The wife takes off her panties, goes in, sits across from him on the couch, pulls up her dress and spreads her legs a little. He looks over and says, "Are you wearing any panties?" She says, "Nope." He says, "Thank God. I thought you were sitting on the cat."
Jesus, Jackie. Hey,
welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast, dude.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast, or wherever you get your podcast, or on Spotify, Podcast Playground. We're on Apple Podcasts, wherever your podcast is. Let me introduce you to the people on the show. We have the Dean of the Clown College, Mike Grief.
Hey, how's it going? How you doing? What's going on? Hey, happy to be here. Thank you.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's Craig Mitchell. Anyway, before COVID or during COVID, we had a show that was on every single day.
Jeez, how did you guys do that?
Single day, and we had the creator of the show. We have Tom Drake, a good friend, yes. A funny comedian. Give him a round of applause. Yes. He's here with us now.
It is certainly my honor, but I will tell you right now, I'm feeling nervous because I know it was supposed to be P. Diddy. And he dropped out at the last minute, and I have nothing in common with P. Diddy. I traffic in M&Ms, not broads, so I have no idea what I can contribute. I assume this was going to be your hooker show with P. Diddy talking
Come on,
about
Tom,
what's up,
you know,
get
you
off,
got,
girl. Instead, has... I got hold on. Yeah, bring BJ in. Shut up.
And we have BJ Odom. He was on the show. He was like the... what do you call it? The announcer, like John Don Pardo.
Best voice in radio or podcast or anywhere. Come on, let's hear it. Let's hear that voice.
Let's hear for the big voice. That's what we call him, the big voice who gets the most money. Move on.
I don't know. I'm getting older, so I don't know if the voice is starting to sound a little raspy every once in a while.
You sound good, pal.
And Mike was on the show on Fridays. We had comedy. And before
are you insinuating that it was only funny when I was there? Because you guys were hilarious.
No.
Tom
was
always funny. You guys
always had comedians on Friday.
We did.
And then Peter Bell started the insurrection.
That's next subject.
Believe me.
Let me tell your listeners. I know you have 10 times more than I do. The birth of this what show we did 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, was going along really well. And then there was a bit of a discussion, and it disappeared, and it saved me a lot of work. And I slept late, and it was worked out pretty good. And now I talk to myself in a small room, but I'm thrilled to be part of this family dispute. you guys had a producer or something to talk you through before you opened it? Fuck you!
I know.
No, that's our charm. We're just a dysfunctional family.
Vicious.
Now I know what you're fighting about. The 10-second joke, and John knows I disagree with him. I like the 10, Greg. I like the 10-second joke. I know the purpose of it. And
what is the purpose of it?
It's like a groaner, you know, like a groaner. That it's funny because it's BJ. You know what I'm talking about. Jump in there, save me.
Save me
before Craig disconnects me and goes, "Fuck you."
No, I listen. I get it's like I think this is my theory, and Craig can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's like if you make 10,000 videos and one goes viral, you get something off of it. You know, is I don't know if that's why you're making them just to you know the chance that one will just like take off or and maybe 8 people will see it.
I hope we have one today. And BJ and I are happy to be like the American Idol or the Voice people, outsiders, independent voices. BJ, you with me?
I'm with you.
Okay.
Well, let's get to introducing BJ first.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Not here yet? Sorry.
I need a proper introduction.
That's right.
That's I need
Hold on, I need a pill.
All right. So the intro for BJ, the man, the voice, the legend, the gold member Disney status. He has a golf cart with Minnie Mouse painted like Minnie Mouse.
That was my wife's creation, by the way. I got my man card taken away immediately when I drove that to the clubhouse.
No, I think you get your man card taken away the minute you get married.
That's true, too. Yeah.
Let me jump in here and say he was the voice of radio in Southwest Florida for so many years. Along with his buddy Bill, they have their own podcast. They were number one morning show for the longest time, and he was retired, and I dragged his ass out of retirement to do another show they didn't make any money at. And now we're on this show where we don't make any money at. We're just here for an hour.
There you go. Well, BJ, so, I love the stuff you guys post on the I hope your guests know that I'm joking. I don't know if you've seen my answers. Like, you guys post stuff on Facebook every day.
Oh, I liked your answer the other day.
And I think it was you asked, like, what was something that you always wanted as a kid? And I put, you know, for the beatings to stop.
And of course, with our audience, you know, because we kind of try to do what we did back in our days of radio, where we were family friendly. Any one of our promos said you can have the kids in the backseat of the car going, you know, taking them to school and still listening to our show. But Mike gets on there and he goes, I just wanted the beatings to stop when I was a kid.
And I got all the little sad faces like from this.
All these people are like piling on going, oh, you poor boy. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry for you.
Tell them not to listen.
I'm just going to say, I can get the plug out here. It's BJ and Bill, the podcast. And like Tom said, we were on the air for years and years, always in the top three. Few times number one, but we were always number one 35 plus with the older generation. But we couldn't get the babes, you know, 18, 24 as much. But, you know, we had a good show. And it lasted for 15 years.
I can help you get those babes, but, you know, I just need a little more chloroform. No, anyway.
So can P. Diddy.
Yeah. And he's got it on film. The problem is P. Diddy probably has it on film somewhere. These people are idiots. They have cameras throughout the house. It's all on tape.
Yeah.
You know, now he's bitching that the news knew about it, right? Because the helicopters were there before they raided.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was
a leak. He says that that's another thing why everything should be thrown out.
Well, they haven't arrested him yet. They have to arrest him first. Once they arrest him, they can throw it out. But right now, he's just wandering around an airport in Miami going, see my plane? Anybody see my plane? this is unbelievable. You know, now everybody's coming forward like Punxsutawney Phil. Oh, yeah, he touched me here. He grabbed me there. What the hell you been the last 25 years? Now, once somebody came forward and said, you know, he paid for my breast implants, but after that, it was too much to handle. Shut up.
I got to say that. It's like, I'm sorry. Go ahead, BJ.
I was just going to say, but the real question with P. Diddy, did he have anything to do? And I know this is going to throw this group in a tizzy, but did he have anything to do with the death of Tupac? That is also running around out there.
Yeah, that's another. Well, somebody from back in the day accused him, said he was part of it, and he actually had it. He ordered it. You know, that's what the thing is. But I don't know, man. I'll tell you the truth. It's like, I think Tom just hit it on the mark. Why is it that when somebody comes out and then they smell money and it's like, then 50 people come out and they start accusing? I never get that. It's like, you know, it's, you know, one person, and then all of a sudden, why didn't you come out 20 years ago, 30, whatever it was?
Because it's easier to jump on the bandwagon.
Yes, indeed.
I've never made over $30,000 in my life in a year. Not one person has ever come out and said I have sexually harassed them. So that's the way.
And you've constantly sexually harassed them. See, but if you start making money, they'll come out of the woodwork.
But don't talk about the jackets that the record companies gave you and the trips and the rest of the payola. Let's not talk about that. He's right in the middle of it.
Well, he's not a Supreme Court judge.
He was Clara Thomas's valet.
He was a payola guy down there.
So how's the cruise industry, Tom? I mean, are you guys you're still doing it? I know you're still working as a comedian.
Wait, Mike. More important than this was Tom's 25th wedding anniversary.
That's right.
25 years of living in a cabin with a woman who is the cruise director out at sea without a way to get off the ship is like 100 years of real marriage.
Well, I say, congratulations.
And, and he knows I love Dottie. And the Catholic Church should have taken that into consideration.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Dottie needs an award. She should get an award for 25 years of Tom. I mean,
not that anybody here that listens to the podcast that to choose on Tommy Chong's gummies really cares, but I actually met my wife 28 years ago on a ship, and Ferentino was also around in those days. And I started dating the cruise director, and Ferentino said, "Don't do it. You know, John, that's the worst thing you can do. You know, that's the worst thing you can do. Don't date the cruise director. If you don't marry her, you'll never get a job." And I did marry her. So I've been 25 years married.
Steady
and
work.
Wait. I was friends with both of you, and that was said in love, because I figured if it didn't work out, you would never work again. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing to say. Yes, I know Dottie.
I don't know. It sounds like John didn't believe in your act. Like, if you didn't have that inside thing. Tom. You're a very funny man.
I appreciate it. But back in the day, there were plenty of cruise lines. There's still plenty more. And I'll get my plug in. And by the way I describe BJ and Bill is a couple old guys talking old guy stuff, but very, very interesting. And they're two pros. You listen, they're two pros. It just flows. They absolutely hate each other, if you know that. They can't stand each other. But they get together for an hour a week to make some Social Security money. But honestly, it just goes. I have my own podcast. I want to promote it right now. I don't, if you're in the cruise, if you care about the cruise and travel industry, I broadcast 5 days a week, about 32 minutes every day. I don't interview anybody. I don't talk to anybody. I hate people. I talk to myself in a room, and I'll tell you exactly what's going on in the cruise.
Give them the name of the show, man.
It's Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel Podcast. Just Google Tom Drake, and I'm on the same platform as these wonderful performers on the program today. And you can
Podcast Playground, baby.
And I will give you my ideas on the, for instance, you've all seen the freighter that took out the bridge. It was a terrible situation. What's terrible about it is there's a harbor pilot on board. There's an assistant harbor pilot. There's a trained captain, and nobody could figure out how the hell to get that thing not to hit the bridge. The ship still had power. It just didn't have steering. And a good friend of mine, a great captain, told me all they had to do was go hard start, full power starboard engine, shut the other one down, and the ship would have moved out of the other way. The other problem is they tugboats took it out of the harbor and then left.
Yeah.
And if the tugboats...
And the other problem was...
They say that's standard procedure, though. They don't usually guide them all the way. They take them. And here's the other...
Let me interrupt. But a bag of bolts, that old ship that was doing...
Well, yeah. And that time, that's what I was going to say. I just heard a report they were saying... For people that are saying that the entire time it was loading, it had electrical problems.
It did. Yeah.
The electrical problems, the electric was going out. And they were saying, well, why did they even try to take it out at night? At least
think about this too.
The day.
They dropped one of the anchors. And now, if they didn't drop that anchor, was it still heading towards the damn pier and the bridge? If they didn't drop that anchor, they might have cruised right by that spot they hit.
No, they were trying to slow it down.
Yeah, that is the first thing you do is drop the anchors. The second thing you do is drop your pants.
I was taking
up the wazoo, because that guy, wherever he's from, I can't say for sure. They say he's Ukrainian, but I guess, but it's a Singapore-based company.
He was on the Valdez before that.
Yeah, he's going to be running.
The owners of the ship should take some responsibility. I mean, if it was in as bad shape as you guys are saying, because I haven't really been following it closely.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
So, I mean, really, it's the owners of the ship that should.
Well, now they're saying that a bridge like that, right, was built before, you know, when like freighters were only like 100 yards long instead of 300 yards.
It was built by Francis.
And was still alive. Yeah,
they were saying
that now on these new, you know, like any of these bridges, they put in these cylindrical cement columns
protected
that can take, you know, that can take the impact of a ship, but it didn't have it, like, you know.
That was built in 77. So anyway, that's what I talk about. I don't want to hijack your show. That's what I talk about. And you can find me everywhere on Play
Podcast. Tom, you're here to hijack our show, man. It's like, that's, I don't want to work today. Fucking hijack.
Speaking of cruise ships, I was on the SS Norway when it came out of dry dock. And those anchors on those ships are like hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're not just like a little anchor you see on a boat. I mean, I have pictures of guys standing on them while they're painting the ship.
Yeah. Right? So you're saying my little mushroom anchor wouldn't do the job.
Yeah, I mean, they're huge. So we got John,
the better story is when you're on that ship that hit the reef in the Bahamas, you couldn't find your magic act.
Right. Well, yeah.
That's a better story.
Wait, BJ, will you take it easy, man? Just slow down.
This is pretty funny. We get to the private island, right? It's an absolute beautiful day. The water is like slick black. And they let out, because the Norway, they let out the first anchor, right? And you hear, and they let the second anchor out.
Sounds like me taking a leak.
The anchors weren't connected.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden the captain comes out and goes, "Oh, this is the captain speaking. We'd like to say that we will not be going to the private island today because of inclement weather. Instead, we will be doing Liar's Club at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Because we can't sit there. We have no way to stay stationary."
Then they had to, like, so the divers had to go down and buoy them all up and everything. So when they came back the next time, they could retrieve them next week.
Yeah. Wow. You know what I want to hear? Tom said, BJ, you guys talk about old guys talking about old stuff. What is old stuff? What do you talk about?
Hemorrhoids. Basically, we're doing the same thing we did over 20 years ago when we had our morning show. We talk about things that go on in our life and things that are going on around, you know, us. And what's kind of cool now, you know, we're in that 65 plus era, and you know, I'm married, so I can talk about that. He's in the dating world, so we can talk about that. So basically, we're talking about senior citizens that are just wandering around the earth and things that are going on in our life.
He's like you. He's the same age, 65 plus.
Yeah,
and he's dating. What's wrong with him?
Well, I don't know, but he believe it or not, he's on the dating apps. He's on the dating apps.
I have a question for BJ. When they threw Draymond Green out last night, was Steph Curry really crying?
I don't know, but he was angry. He was pretty, he was like, why are we even here? I went to see the Orlando Magic last night, by the way.
And the Warriors.
My favorite team of all times is Steph Curry and the Warriors. He only made one 3-point shot.
Yeah.
That was at the end of the game where they really took the lead and they took control of the game where they were going to be winners for nothing. And I got to watch him run from one end to the other with his little sleep thing that he always does once he does a 3-pointer and, you know, the game is over.
Was it one, huh? Game.
Yeah. So that was my highlight.
But for the people that don't know what I was referring to, Draymond Green, one of the biggest thugs in the NBA, hands down, just an animal, set a record. He was thrown out of the game 4 minutes into the game. He had two technicals and tossed with 4 minutes into the game. This guy should be out of the league, be honest with you. How many chances he swings at people, steps on their head? He's a bum. And you cheer for that team. I don't get it. I don't like Steve Curry either. But anyway, go ahead. So they threw him out of step. Today they said Curry looked like he was crying. That's why he put his shirt up to his eyes, and I felt bad for him. So
I don't know. He did not play his best game, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was probably from tears.
But I'll tell you what, though. That was something that I've never seen before, because he didn't really even do anything like he usually does, like you talk about being the thug or being the defender. Because basically he got thrown out for jawing at the official.
Yep.
And so he got the one. So I thought, okay, it's over.
Shut up.
And I don't know what, but when he got the second technical, he was more than 100 feet away. You know, he was like halfway across the court and he got his second one.
Now we're way off the track. But the people go ahead. If you don't follow basketball, once you get the first technical, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Because the second one gets you tossed. Shut up. But he's 10 years old, masquerading as a grown man, getting $8 million, and he's
so you're a big fan, is what you're saying, Tom?
I can't stand the Warriors. Never liked them, but BJ loves them.
Saw a hockey game last week,
and a basketball game started.
Yeah, these two guys are having a fist fight, right? And the one guy gets punched, and his helmet kind of goes sideways. and he rips the guy off, the official, and he starts beating the shit out of the official because he can't see because his helmet's on sideways.
Come on, John, you were watching a movie. That was Slapshot. That wasn't a real game.
No, it was. That's my favorite scene in Slapshot where they fight before the national anthem.
Oh, yeah. They're all, like, the national anthem comes on and they're all bloody and freaking bleeding all over the ice.
Goes, I better not see any trouble from you guys. The guy goes, shut the fuck up. I like this song.
I never saw it. That's not the one with Paul Newman, is it?
Yes, it is. Newman. It's one of the greatest movies of all time.
I don't think I've really seen it. I've seen the trailer. I've seen the puck go in the net. That's about it.
Seen the trailer. It's like the movie came out like 40 years ago.
Well, I saw the trailer back then. That's all I remember. Does Craig participate in this podcast at all?
Oh, I'm just letting you guys take the lead. I was listening. It sounds to me like that guy who's the thug is the Gary Howard of basketball. I just put that reference in so John would understand it.
Yeah, I don't know how it. Gary Howe was the enforcer on the Islanders, and he was like 5'8". He was like 5'8", and he would fight everybody. But his problem was that it was before they wore helmets. So what he would do is he'd jump up and grab you by the hair and start punching your face in.
So he's the reason why they got helmets.
And once they started wearing helmets, they used to wear these little Russian helmets with these little teacup loops, and that was good because you could grab onto that. But then when they started wearing the full helmets, he was done.
See, I like the helmets from when you guys were young, those leather helmets.
Thank you. I'm trying to wrap my head around a hockey helmet with teacup loops.
Yeah, it was like kind of...
I didn't even know what a teacup loop is.
Those motorcycle, those like little scooter helmets.
Yeah, it has like a little loop around the ear.
All right.
You know what I mean? I guess that's how they put them on. They put them on that way, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a hockey player.
You're a big fan, though.
I was a big fan, yes.
Man knows his hockey.
I won a car.
See, I'm not the only sports I watch game. Is it, like fighting is MMA and stuff like that. But
I won a car at the hockey game. That was pretty cool.
John won a car at a hockey game.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. It's funny because nobody won. I went. It's funny because Tom knew my dad. My dad was just so funny and. I took him to a hockey game.
One of the greatest dance hosts in the history of the cruise industry.
They show the, you know, they're doing the shooting the puck through the hole. My dad's like, why do they show this? Nobody ever wins. No one's ever won in 4 years. This is just crap. It's just a waste of time. Blah, blah, blah. And he's going on and on, right? So the next game, my brother-in-law gets the lucky program. And he goes, I'm not going down there. You go down there. They'll announce your name. It'll be good for your career. I go, what? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you know the Islanders. So I went down on the ice. And it was just so funny because the section.
Is that your brother-in-law Lane's merge?
No. And
how is he anyway? Never mind.
But anyway, it was very funny because the section light sat in was brutal. Right. And I walk out on the ice after they announce my name and the whole section starts screaming, get the F off the ice. What do you know about hockey? Like the worst. And the guy I'm shooting against is like, it's like picture Dan Aykroyd doing a character. He goes, yeah, I've been playing hockey like 20 years. I figure I could whistle a wrister through there. I go, whistle a wrister through there? I go, the puck is 3x1 and the hole is 3.5x1.5. It doesn't fit. And he goes, yeah, don't worry about it. So they put, I just remember, I never had a hockey stick in my hand in my life. And it's like right after they, you know, they don't even resurface the ice. And they give you a street hockey stick with a rubber blade. Which apparently, so you have no control whatsoever. And
they don't want to give that car away, man. That's the team loaner car.
So he shoots the first one and it's going right down the ice, like straight. Like I'm thinking this guy might be able to do it. And it goes down and the puck hits like the side of the hole and bounces off. And the crowd kind of goes crazy. So it's my turn. I take this puck and it's just so crazy. I shoot the puck and it goes straight down the ice. And jumps up in the air, hits right over the hole, right? And the guy turns and goes, you're shooting the puck too hard. So he shoots another one, and his is going right for the hole. I mean, it's going right for the hole. And for a second, at the last second, it just veers off, right? So I just go, well, this is bad, man. I just got to hit the board as hard as I can so they don't yell at me. So I took the puck and I shot it as hard as I could. And next thing I knew, I saw the back of the net go up, the light go on, and the whole Coliseum go, crazy.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
You hit the puck as hard as you can. Did it go through the little hole that you were supposed to
There's
go
only
through?
One hole. Or it was only one hole.
Or did it just go so fast that it just went and ripped a hole right into this?
Well,
you know they watch that in slow motion to make sure.
It actually curved and went in. I don't know. But anyway, so they bring
English
the car,
on it.
They bring the car out. You know, this is the funniest. Wait.
John, the first time you tell the story, it didn't curve. The story keeps getting a little embellished.
Oh, it curved. It always curved.
It made a hook.
It had Peyronie's disease this time. It curved.
So wait, this is so New York. You guys from New York will appreciate this. They bring the car out, and they're going to give me a victory lap in the car, right? So they have like a little seat in the front seat with two handles so you can sit like on the outside and they'll drive around the Coliseum. And the guy's got to sit in the back seat, the guy I shot against. So we're going by the sections, the whole crowd's going, bah! And they're bowing and stuff, right? And then as soon as they pass me, they're banging on the glass, giving the guy the finger going, loser, loser, make him walk back, throw him out of your car.
Oh, fucking the love in New York, man. That Long Island love.
What was the car?
What was it? 1989. So it was an 89 Chevy Cavalier, fully equipped. It was worth like $12,000.
Fully equipped. A Cavalier fully equipped. Would it have air conditioning?
Probably.
Fully equipped.
It had air, tinted windows, electric windows. It had air conditioning. It had a good
fully
stereo.
Equipped. You could adjust the mirrors.
I never even took possession of the car. My dad was buying a car, so they gave him the credit on the car, and then he gave me money, and that's how I bought my first sailboat.
Oh.
Now, now, John's dad, Joe, retired, and he came out on Norwegian Cruise Line. In those days, the cruise line and certain ships had dance hosts, and they would come and cruise, and their job was to dance with the ladies. And Joe was not – he wasn't really Arthur Murray, but he had a solution. I'm going to buy a drink, and he would buy everybody drinks.
Well, in all fairness to the situation, which I agree 100% with Tom, most of these dance hosts are like classically trained dancers.
You're right.
And these women, they're intimidated dancing with them.
You know that Walter Matthau, you know what I mean? And Jack Lemmon made a movie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Have to see.
But the thing about it was he just danced like a regular husband. And that's why they like dancing with him. You know what I mean? It was like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, let's do the waltz. You know, and the woman's like, what the hell? My husband and then he probably stepped on someone's foot, and the woman goes, oh, you dance just like my husband. You know?
I was just on a Crystal cruise where they had dance hosts, and a lot of females who lost their husbands, who never had a husband, whatever. And man, oh man, they would dance. These dance hosts had to walk. They danced for 2 hours straight. They never sat down because that's the reason the ladies went on. They went on to dance with these guys. And you're right, John. They were all trained dancers, waltzing and foxtrot, whatever else going on. And like we danced like a husband, which is not that often. Every other dance, every third dance, something we like. In the meantime, find us at the bar.
Right.
There you go.
Do you think you could talk to Dottie? Maybe I could be a dance host because I'm really bad at dancing.
No, we don't have him anymore. We don't have him anymore. On Oceania, we tell him just eat more sushi.
I want BJ around just to like announce bingo.
Yeah, great voice for that.
I did that on the
B-35.
He did it. He was a cruise director on a gambling boat out of Fort Myers.
There you go. That's perfect for you, man.
Yeah, it was good. And the magician.
Where you were, your radio station was like in Fort Myers, right?
Yeah. Well, the one I was with Bill, I mean, I've been in Greenville, South Carolina, I've been in Indiana.
So I probably listened to you years and years ago. I lived in Fort Myers many years ago. I worked in the Fort Myers airport, had a job at a rental car company, and I used to listen. And I'm sure that I probably listened to you guys and didn't even know it.
And you probably heard BJ later on. He was on a morning show called Drake in the Morning with me and David Say, and BJ was working for nothing there. I am the best at getting BJ to work for free. Nobody works harder for nothing. He's amazing. And then I call him up, listen, I'm willing to pay for this liner. Nah, never mind. But I did write him some jokes which he refuses to use. So. Well, I tried to trade a little bit, but now we don't even do it. So anyway,
I don't even do comedy. I'm retired.
He's retired. We're all semi-retired. I got to get back on a stage.
Not me. I'm working for Larry Silver, baby. I'm cleaning up.
Oh man, you are.
We don't Larry. Have. There's not enough time in the.
Hey,
podcast.
I had the privilege of seeing Tom. Let me tell you something. Like I said, if I would have known that he wasn't going to do anything up front, I would have gone up and done 5 minutes and warmed up the crowd for you because you went up with a total deficit.
Yeah. But you know what? John will tell you this. When you're an entertainer in the cruise industry, you're used to walking up behind the eight ball because the audience did not pay for it. They're going there because they had dinner and it's something to do. Yeah. And you really start way down there and you have to convince them. And that's why, you know, people that have never seen John's act, his opening, you know, one of the greatest lines, you know, I'm not going to do your act. It's great. And immediately grabs the people. This isn't about kissing somebody's ass, but immediately grabs the audience, which you have to do.
What joke is that? I'm serious.
I immediately grab the audience and I get in trouble for it, but it's.
I do comedy, do magic.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. And then right away with the a little bit with the attitude, it's perfect. That's what the show is.
What I love about John is they goes on stage and it's just so like I could really give a shit attitude. It's like, yeah, it's great to be here. Okay, laugh, don't laugh. I don't give a shit. And that's what's funny about it.
But, you know, it's so funny because years ago I used to watch Joe DeLion on stage. And I said to somebody once, I go, Joe DeLion is the most relaxed person I've ever seen on stage. You know, that's what I would hope to be.
Old Quaaludes.
Somebody just said to me, are you fucking kidding? If you were any more relaxed, you would fall asleep. I never feel that way, though. You know?
It's muscle memory at this point. You know what I mean? You just, and it's great. It was, John just killed him at the Elks. That's our career is zooming right now. John and I, we tore it up at the Elks.
The Elk was cracking up. The Elk, we were sitting right under the Elk, actually. And that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah, you know, after 40 years in this business, when you see your name up in cardboard, that just gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Well, now I know I'm not doing comedy at the present time because you, Tom, say it's muscle memory. And I'm at the age where my muscle doesn't even work anymore. So.
You know, you guys, you definitely.
We're talking about comedy, not sex, BJ.
Oh, okay.
You need a rim shot machine for the show. That's what I'm doing right here. But to finish my thought about being on ships, this happened years ago. I was in the back of the room on Holland America waiting to go on stage. It was a world cruise. It was like 120-day world cruise. I was 110. I was on the 110th night of the show. And for people that care about how it works in the cruise industry, it's very difficult for John, for magic, because there's not an infinite number of tricks and illusions, but for comedians it's different. So when you go on a world cruise, you have to be vetted. You have to talk to somebody. They ask you, do this joke, that joke. No, my shit is my own. That's the reason I'm lucky to have a job. But I'm in the back of the room and this couple walks in and the husband says to the wife, I wonder what they're going to torture us with tonight, right? And that is the audience when you walk out on stage. At least at the Elks Club, you know, they paid their $20 to see the show. Saturday night was a big event. It was a lot of fun.
Corned beef and cabbage?
Let me tell you something. I will commandeer this part of the show and tell you a story about John and I working on Oceania, working tough crowd, a tough audience. And when the cruise is over, I'm leaving early to go to New York, but I had time to stay over in L.A. I got to go to the Magic Castle, and I got to watch John at the Magic Castle. These are people that dressed up. This was a big, I swear, big fucking deal. They are dressed to the nines at the castle. The place is beautiful. And they go, and this, he tore up the place. Everything was, they were screaming. And the funny thing is, every time he got a giant laugh, he'd look at me and go, it's not Oceania, huh? And he'd go to the next bit. Because the audience is night and day.
It is a cool deal, man. This is one of the only places I've ever had to wear a jacket to go, man. We went with a bunch of friends to see John. Yeah. And you know, John's one of the only people I'll throw on a jacket for. That him or a funeral.
No pants. I don't wear
no pants, but a jacket.
But the difference is crazy sometimes. And plus, John's tremendous. He knows how much I think of him. And I was dying. They were just killing the room. It was just, everything was.
Well, you have to, I mean, I know we I asked you, so I didn't surprise this on you, but you have to tell my favorite joke that you tell. It's the funniest.
Well, let me tell you.
You got to take, you're not getting off
the show. I'll do that, but I have to tell this story. You know, John and I have known each other a long, long time. And John was so established and so well-known before when I started in the business. And on NCL, he was the king of NCL. He owned it. I mean, that's it. And so we're on a ship. You might not even remember this. I think you will, though. We're on a ship. Cruise director's name is Charlie Oski. And I'm doing a late-night show. I forget the ship. It wasn't in Norway, but I'm doing this late-night show. And it's adults only, but it's, you don't have profanity. And I'm on stage, and I'm talking about a guy that tried to make love to a swimming pool in Lakeland, Florida. He was staying at a Scottish Inn, and this guy tried to have sex with the pool filter. He stuck it in the pool filter hole, and it got stuck. Oh,
Jesus.
So I'm telling the story, and as I'm telling the story, a guy starts yelling out. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, you're from Lakeland, Florida. He says, no, I'm the guy. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, how about this? We have a pool fucker in the room, right? Well, you can't say pool fucker on NCL. This is 28 years ago. So now I finish the show, and John comes up. Oh, man, I can't believe you said fuck. I can't believe it. Oh, the kiss of death. My career is over. I'll never work NCL again. You said fuck. So, and of course, Charlie Oski was a bit of a tight ass, so to speak. Yeah. So he's looking at me. He doesn't know what to do with me. Then he's at the midnight buffet when they had a midnight buffet. And there were four senior citizens, four elderly ladies up there. But then for us would have been 65. And Charlie went up to him and said, what did you think of that comedian tonight? He was great. You didn't mind that he said, you know, pool? They said, no, we fucking, no, that's what we went for. Charlie got embarrassed. He would get embarrassed. But I'll never forget John telling me, oh, yeah, yeah. And I went to bed that night thinking I'm fired. My short-time career is over.
Well, they were really uptight back then. I had the same problem.
Ladies liked it because it's like fucking one of them is like fucking a pool.
I had the same problem with I was on the Norway, right?
Yeah.
And so I start doing my Orient Beach new jokes, and I'm on a roll, right? And I go, oh yeah, I go, you know, and I don't even remember the jokes anymore, but I'm doing the jokes, and I'm going, and I go, yeah, I saw a guy. I saw this naked guy sitting on a catamaran. I go, how many people have ever been to Orient Beach? It's a nude beach. And I go, yeah, women go thinking it's going to be like Chippendale's training camp. Yeah. Guys go thinking it's going to be the Playboy Mansion. Yeah. I go, wrong. This is the scariest place you've ever been to in your life. If you're not mentally prepared, when you walk on that beach, you're in deep therapy the rest of your life. It's like a Picasso painting. All the parts are there. They're just not necessarily in the right places. Right? And it's killing. And I go like this. I go, yeah, I went to the restaurant. It's just like, I'm just ad-libbing. I went to the restaurant. The waitress came over. I go, hey, put on a hairnet, all right? And then I go like this. I go, I saw a guy sitting on a catamaran. I go, it looked like he had a sailboat up his ass. And I go, he comes out of the water. And I go, he comes out of the water. And I go, holy shit, a fucking human manatee, right? And it kills, right? And I walk off stage at the end of my set, and I'm feeling all cocky. And Denny Anderson, the cruise director, walks into the room and throws me against the wall. And he goes, Bubba, what the fuck are you doing? And I go like this. I go, he goes, you don't play the LV and David Nestor on my cruise.
Yes, you do.
They were dying, yeah. Right? And he was like so pissed off at me, you know? And so it was like 2 years later, right? And Denny and I are hanging out. I go, hey, I remember that night. I go, it was just amazing that I got no bad comments or anything. And he just looks at me and he goes, Bubba, you got like 200 bad comments that went right in the trash can that never saw the office.
People just don't have a sense.
John, you take the weirdest freaking, John's the only guy I know is like done a nudist colony. Fucking, it's like, why would you that job? You did it too?
I did it.
But you were nude. That's the difference is you probably did it nude, Tom.
5 minutes from my house. So,
really?
Yeah, it was weird. It was absolutely bizarre, staring straight ahead. I didn't want to make eye contact. And everybody, it was weird. It was like 55 degrees. We pull into this nudist colony, and the men are wearing jackets, no pants. Okay. They wear jackets and their ass hanging out. I'm like, stop it. I know you're a nature guy, naturalist, whatever, but it's cold out. Put a pair of pants on. And you go in there, and the first thing they tell you is, which I believe Minervini did that room too, right? They tell you, don't do any nudist jokes. You know,
right.
Don't do any jokes about nudists because they're tired of hearing these. But it was really just, I did okay there. I didn't do great. I couldn't get anything going because I just couldn't get this picture out of my head.
Oh, God.
And, well, you couldn't get the, are you saying you couldn't get the crowd up?
Yeah.
Hey, you do a gig like that, you never eat bratwurst again.
Well, it's so funny. It's so funny when I do that room. You know how, like, Minervini's the king of schmooze?
Yeah.
I become Minervini. I come out and I go, just my opening line, I go like this. I go, hey, it's great to be here at, you know, the nudist colony, the nudist resort. They don't like to eat when you say
yeah,
colony.
Yeah. I get brought
great.
Back.
I go, it's great to be here at the nudist resort, you know? And I just want to say, I really respect you people. And they all start applauding. I go, you know, I don't know if I could do it, but, you know, what you do, and if you believe in it, that's really good. Right? And like, and it's just like,
how do you not walk out and go like, hey, buddy, nice cock?
And I go like, and I go like this. I go, I do have a few questions. Like, where do you put your keys?
Thank you.
Right? And, but that gets a laugh. Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was really fun. I just... Well, no, they're certainly not.
Well, here's the question: are any of them good looking, or are they all just like people who should fucking be dressed?
Hell no. There was one woman, you know, with her husband, and the husband was he wanted to wave it around, and she was pretty.
he wanted to wave it around,
but she was pretty dressed up a little bit. You know, she was very nice, and I just have a feeling that you know her husband wants to do this, so right. She wants to make the husband happy. So, you know, whatever. I didn't get, now I don't know, maybe they don't book it anymore, but I wasn't asked back. And I didn't lose any sleep over it. I did it once. In fact, you know, whatever.
Here's another question. Is it the, do you have the option? Like, I mean, is it the thing where they're expecting you to be nude or that's
no,
not
no,
even?
No, no, no.
They
no,
wouldn't
no.
want you to be. No, it would be, I'll tell you, kids, it would be distracting. I'll tell you that. You know? And the men would be very depressed. You know, I'll tell you.
I'm of the opinion that most of the people who go to these nudist colonies just do it because they're exhibitionists. I really, you know, I've been to nude beaches, and that's why you're doing it.
Of course, that's the only reason.
Well, I agree.
Would you? I don't know. I don't know if that's true because when I was at that place, right? I mean, there has to be one place in the resort where it's completely naked, which is usually the pool, right? But you see entire families like naked driving around on golf courts.
Yeah,
you know, you see guys, at night, you see guys like this is so weird.
Hey, what are we in Europe?
That always makes me laugh, man. At night, when you see a guy walking down the street and his high top kids, no pants, walking his dog.
Yeah,
but his dog has pants on.
Yeah, wearing a snood. Snood Factory, get the plug
snood factory. There you go. I love the snood factory.
Get the plug in there. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not for me. I'm a very private guy. So I wore a suit and a tie and a mask. And
and they have the other thing too is they have to sit on towels.
Yep.
Right. Gotta be sanitary.
Have to bring a towel.
Well, I know
on stage one night and he had a belly shirt on, like a little belly shirt and no pants.
Chris, that's wrong.
And Chris just started laughing so hard. I just turned in the middle of my act. I go, for Christ's sake, could you pull your shirt down a little bit? And then the woman at the place said to Chris, I think he may have a little problem with nudity.
Well, most people do. I mean, you know, and I'll do an old joke because what the hell? BJ, keep a dick joke ready. I know he's back. He's getting ready. I'll get you one. You know the joke. 90-year-old lady wants to, she can't, she doesn't want to live anymore. She's going to kill herself. So she calls over a doctor and needs to know the exact location of her heart. And the doctor said it's 2 inches below your left breast. So she shot herself in the knee. Okay, hit the rim shot. Hit the rim shot. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Hey.
And listen to my podcast. Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Traveling
to Spot. I don't know. I think I'm more like Archie Bunker when it comes to that. It's like, geez, nudities for the bedroom, would you, huh?
I saw a thing yesterday on TikTok, and it was they were interviewing Carol O'Connor, and they go, "We're going to ask you a question, ask Carol O'Connor," and then you want to answer the same question as Archie Bunker. It was really funny. You know, I think it was about conservation. And he was like talking really serious about it, and then as Archie Bunker, he goes, "Trees? You want to save a tree?
How are we gonna build outhouses, huh?"
Everyone, don't ask me them dumb questions. I don't. I'm not on TikTok. I believe in this Chinese thing, so I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook, but I'm not on TikTok. Not that I care about them having my data. It doesn't matter to me at this point. I mean, I love
it.
It's like, unless they got my credit card number, I'll be pissed. But every other bit of your data is out there for
absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'm sick and tired of every time I go to a website, they want to know about my cookies. Will I accept their cookies?
Chocolate
their,
chip.
Their croissants. Or the crates, and I have to then decide which cookies they can use. And finally,
listen to this. I'm the most careful person in the world when it comes to filling out internet stuff, you know?
Yeah. Right. So told me to buy something off the TikTok shop.
But anyway,
I get this thing from Harbor Freight saying with my number on it, the loyalty number, and it says, fill out this quick survey. So I fill out the quick survey and it says that you won. And it was like, a thing to jumpstart your car.
Yeah.
You know, $10 shipping. Triple so A. I go, so no, no, like one of those little boxes with the thing. So I go, fuck, I can use that. So I put in the $10. Immediately I get a call from MasterCard that there was a fraudulent charge of $10. And $66 on my card immediately. I mean, I'm still figuring the thing out. So they go, well, we'll take the charges off and we'll have to send you a new card. I'm going I can't. It's just bad.
You know what I get all the time? And I just took care of one yesterday. I keep getting, you go to a doctor's appointment and then I get these co-pays. And it's for things that I shouldn't even, get billed for. I'm not calling them, and they take them off. But most people, I think, will just, you get a doctor's bill, you get your copay, you just pay it. But it's like, I look at it, and it's like, this thing says they get, it was for a brain scan. And for this, I'm like, I didn't have a freaking brain scan. And they
that's the problem.
Waste of time.
Yeah, it is, actually. Fucking echolocation. You need a dolphin to find my brain, I think.
What'd you say, BJ?
I just said when he said, now I forget.
This show really is about old fucking guys, isn't it?
It would have only worked
right that moment
if it would have been heard at the moment.
Yeah,
we got to get a fucking spot Prevagen to sponsor the BJ Odom show.
I apologize if I stepped on you.
That always cracks me up. That Prevagen commercial. He goes, the ingredients of jellyfish.
Yeah.
Jellyfish don't even have brains.
Why don't I just eat a jellyfish? Why do I got to take care of
it? I don't know what it is. It's a
Prevagen is memory. A thing to improve your memory.
All right.
Oh, and it says the active ingredient in jellyfish.
Yeah.
Really? Jellyfish. Like a jellyfish making world decisions? I mean,
it happens.
In France. Pretty sure in France they are. I chose another country to go
political. There you go.
We could find another one here too, but it doesn't matter.
You're right. So it's like from a jellyfish. Then listen, we're all in that age group. I mean, they used to just call it a little bit of senility or whatever, but now it's what is it? It's the whole Alzheimer's and this and that.
Memory loss.
Mental decline.
But see, now here, you guys might know, is there a difference? Is there just like regular, like, old guy, listen, I got a bad memory, or is it all part of the old dementia?
Well, dementia is certainly a disease.
Yeah, I know people that are suffering from it right now.
I think that people, as you get older, your memory just isn't as sharp.
But that doesn't mean that you have,
No, it doesn't mean you have dementia.
Okay. Because I can't remember shit, and I've always had a bad memory, but it's like, it makes me nervous. It's like, am I going to wind up with dementia or something like that?
No, I have something.
The Tommy Chong disease.
Yeah. I only remember what I want to remember. That's it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I remember my act. I can remember things that BJ and I did 25, 30 years ago, but I remember other things. And people say, remember we did this? No, I don't remember because I don't want to remember.
See, I'm going back to work because I remember your act.
I remember John Ferentino bringing us to the Folies Bergère in Paris and telling us, I'm dating my wife at the time, and he's taking us to the Folies Bergère, how you pronounce it. Oh, it's okay. It's that PG rated, and out come these topless dancers wiggling around and people groping on couches and shit like that. And my poor future wife is looking at me like, this is PG.
It was the Crazy Horse.
Oh, the Crazy Horse. That's right.
It was the Crazy Horse, and it's still in business, and it's still.
But
I'm sure Dottie must have been thrilled because I love. She's beautiful, classy, and she just seemed. But she seems so straight laced, like a.
She's not that straight laced. Not anymore, John. But you don't. But I will tell you. Yesterday, Dottie says, and my wife said to me, "There's this Chico's outlet sale. It's amazing. Chico's outlet sale. There's stuff for $5, $8, $10." I said, be careful. If it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. No, look, it's Chico's on the app. Chico's, everything is perfect. The address is Chico's, Fort Myers, everything else. I said, well, do what you want. So she ordered $66 worth of shit. And within seconds, Wells Fargo notifies me.
That's what my card was, Wells Fargo. Wow. They're pretty good.
I said, call Wells Fargo. Because what happened is when they sent it in, they said it was the merchant was Hu Tang Wang Hu in Chinese. It wasn't Fort Myers Chico. It was Wing Tang Ping Tang. I said, call the bank. So she called the bank and they said, yeah, this was charged in Hong Kong. And we're going to cancel your cards and we won't pay them and we'll go on from there. But
yeah, that's funny.
But my sister was telling me that. Wells Fargo is one of the few credit card companies that just takes care of it immediately because of the credit cards now are saying, well, if you submitted.
Yeah, because mine comes up. I got Capital One and it comes up like as soon as if it's like a sketchy thing, it'll say, what are you, a fucking idiot? Is this legitimate? Are you that stupid?
Well, luckily it was fixed. Now we'll get new cards eventually. So it was all right. But it was a kind of a funny story that it happened. BJ, you ever buy anything online like that? Or no, your son buys it for you.
BJ still has dial-up.
My kid buys it for me.
Your son buys it for you.
BJ still has one of those phones that you have to like wind, like the old army phones. You know,
he's a gadget guy.
Hey, BJ, you
have an air fryer?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Of course, ours is an air fryer. And toaster oven.
What the fuck?
All in one.
And travel agent.
And mine has all that, and it's a dehydrator.
Oh, ours is too. Yeah, we've never done.
I have three, and one of them gives me oral sex. So there you go.
I want yours.
Yeah.
Must be a small air fryer.
Oh, well, it is Irish. So
hey, there you go. Boom. We never owned an air fryer until Craig came on the show 2 years ago.
Same thing with me. I had to get the big boss.
Yeah, you had the monster one with the
pop
it in. You can fry a body in that.
Oh, I've been to
it lights up the whole county too.
It does. Yeah, I tried something new with it this morning. I got an air fryer. I use it every day. This morning, I cut up slices of spam and then I cracked a couple of eggs right onto the thing. Put it and made eggs and spam. It was terrible.
Who is it? BJ told me once about frying spam, right?
Yeah.
Love spam.
Spam is good.
Really?
Yeah.
I won't.
All I know about spam is what Paul Parenzi used to go, spam, where does it come from? A spig?
Well, I won't steal Alan.
You elitist.
I won't steal Alan Proffitt's joke. I'll give him credit. Alan Proffitt used to say spam is spit and ham. That's what it is.
Listen, I got a half an artery on trying to clog. Spam is the perfect food.
Nice.
Is it really good frying? I don't think
it's delicious. I love spam. It's delicious.
I like spam.
Spam is good when it has a crust on it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's like what? bacon's special cousin.
When you fry it till it gets until it gets crusty on each side, it's really good. That's true.
Now we go into whether it's pork roll or Taylor ham. So
what you want to do? You want to mince it, nice little squares. Put it in. Then you want to add peas and cheese. Macaroni cheese.
And what into
what
the eggs?
What kind
into
of cheese?
The eggs.
Macaroni and cheese, peas. Wow. And little diced ham.
See, I'm doing low carb. I can't do that. I was just in Florida. Lost 10 pounds while I was in Florida doing low carb.
Okay. You ate at your mother's house.
Yeah.
BJ, that recipe, does it come with a roll of toilet paper?
My God.
Oh, man.
Oh, I think we're heading towards the time limit.
No,
here.
Fred, we're not leaving anywhere until Tom tells the joke.
Oh, Tom, let's end it on the joke.
Well, what do you guys do, an hour, or is it like a 40 minutes? Whatever you decide. Whatever, yep. Greg.
Is
Greg
it an hour?
Yeah.
I got it. This.
You work for the podcast playground. Yeah. You know that they'll frown upon it going over too far.
Yeah. Well, how many commercials are you getting this hour now? 61.
Yeah, you got a lot lately, right?
You have to understand, Tom, these guys don't know how to end a show, so when we hit the hour mark, we still have another 20 minutes before we wrap it up. So
well, if you have Martling here, forget it, it'll go on for 3 days. We
can just use a 10 second joke, that'll end it real quick. Tom, go ahead, tell the joke, Tom.
We go full circle. Greg,
what a good recall.
I am insulted you don't have a 10-second joke. I have a 10-second joke.
Oh, I have one, but it's pretty obscene right now.
Let's hear the famous joke, John.
I'll do the 10-second joke first. You know this one, Mike. Hasidic rabbi walks in a bar with a parrot on his shoulder. Bartender looks up and goes, "That's really cool. Where'd you get it?" And the parrot said, "Brooklyn. There's thousands of them." All right, hit the rim shot. Let's move on. Come on, you donkeys.
Don't tell me my business.
for the listeners who have no idea what I'm referring to, back in the day when we began, Jackie Martin, we come out every Friday and do 10 jokes he thought he could tell in a cruise ship.
I never had
10 jokes that he could tell.
No. And he was always astonished that it was like, you can't do that on really.
I'm gonna try this joke, but I am the world's worst joke teller. That's a good
no, you tell this joke better than anybody.
No, I don't.
But
plus Mike has a better Italian than I do, you know what I mean? Forget about it, you know. But Luigi and Johnny, they're sitting in a bar in Nutley, New Jersey. They're both drunk. And Luigi said to Johnny, he goes, "Johnny, my dream, you know my dream?" Johnny goes, "What?" He goes, "My dream is someday become the championship wrestler of the world." And Johnny goes, "Forget about it, you lazy bastard. You stood out. You amount to nothing. Just shut up. Have another drink." And Luigi goes, "Wait a minute, Johnny. If you become my manager, my trainer, and I work very hard, and I train very hard, I could probably become the championship wrestler of the world." And Johnny goes, "I don't know. We'll try it tomorrow. Have another drink." So the next day, he goes into training. A month later, he wrestles a guy, beats him. A month later, another guy beats him. I haven't told it in years. Another guy. This goes on for like 15 months. He beats everybody. Now he's going to the Soviet Union those days to wrestle the championship wrestler of the Soviet Union. And on the way over, Johnny, who the manager now, he's hot shit. He's into his big time. He goes, "Luigi, whatever you do, Luigi, don't let this guy get you in the pretzel hold. Don't get in the pretzel hold. You think I got him down. You think I got him a pin, and then bada bing, bada boom, some of my bitch, you're going to be in the pretzel hold." And Luigi goes, "Johnny, shut the fuck up. I'm not going to get in the pretzel hold. I'm the great Luigi. Shut up. Forget about it." So they go. Next day, it's the day of the big match, and Luigi's on the mat, and Johnny walks over, and he goes, "Hey, Luigi, remember what I told you? I looked at this guy's films. I scout this guy. Watch his tapes. Don't let him get you in a pretzel hold. You get in a pretzel hold, you know, get out. You think I got him a down. You think I got him a pin. Then bada bing, bada bing, some of my bitch, you're going to be in a pretzel hold." And Luigi says again, "Johnny, shut the fuck up. I'm not going to get a pretzel hold." He goes out. He's wrestling this Russian guy. The next thing you know, boom, bing, boom. Luigi's in the pretzel hold. Johnny goes, "Some of my bitch, I told this guy, you don't listen to shit. I can't." The next thing you hear, boom, bing, winner is Luigi. Luigi wins the match. Johnny runs over and goes, Luigi, I can't believe you get out of pretzel. I can't believe you get out of pretzel. Luigi goes, Johnny, remember what you said. Don't get in a pretzel. Don't get in a pretzel. I got him down. I just about got him pinned, and then bada boom, bada bing, some of my bitch, I'm in a pretzel. I'm laying there thinking to myself, what the fuck am I going to do now? And I look up, and I see a pair of balls, and they're hanging right in front of my face. So I bit them. You'll be surprised how strong you get when you're biting your own balls. There you go. That is a long joke. I'll tell you that right
it's
now.
It's a great.
And I had to tell it with my eyes closed to focus.
It's a great
you'll be joke. I was laughing the whole time because John had freaking, you know, ruined it and told me the joke.
I know. I love it. It's my favorite joke.
But anyway, that's it. We're out of time.
It was my honor to be part of the Big Bad Broadcast. And I'll do it again. Whatever P. Diddy's not available.
There you go. Well, it was great. It was great hanging out with you guys. Definitely haven't seen.
We'll do some cross promotion.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell us where to find you guys.
Go ahead. Promo yourself.
I'm in my office in the front. You can find Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News podcast Monday through Friday on any podcast platform. It originates on the Podcast Playground, which is operated by the son of that man, Mr. Odom, and a guy named Shaquille O'Neal. We start there at Podcast Playground, but you can find it on 24, I think, different platforms. As well, you can find where, BJ?
You can find ours anywhere, too. Same way.
BJ and Bill.
Yeah, the BJ and Bill, the podcast.
Cool.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, so you put a little spin there on the end.
Where? BJ sexy. And Bill, the podcast. Okay, hey, now I'm going to ask you guys one quick question here.
All right.
As I said, I'm thinking about a second podcast. It's going to be all about organ transplants.
Cool.
I've got three names. The Transplant Experience, the Transplant Journey Podcast, or Transplant Tales. Or do you have a better name?
Transplant what?
Tales.
That sounds too much like fails, so I wouldn't do that one. Transplant about, fails. Ooh, don't need that.
How about transplant this?
I got your organ.
I got your organ.
What were the first two? What were the first two again?
The Transplant Experience.
Yeah.
And the Transplant Journey Podcast.
Well, you know what? I think, and this is just my opinion, being that it's such an offshoot kind of a topic, maybe something should say organ or something like that, because people aren't going to understand. Transplant could mean a lot of things. Maybe you should have something that mentions it's about organ transplants.
Yeah. Could be your fern. You could be transplanting your fern.
Between the ferns.
Yeah.
Between the ferns with DJ Odom.
No, the organ transplant experience. Then guys are going to go, this guy has a penis stick. Hey, whatever. I think it's a great idea. Now, you're going to interview people that have also had this done?
People that are waiting, people that have had different organs, you know, transplanted. Wow. Even if I get real lucky, sometimes they're hesitant to talk. But like, you know, some doctors and nurses.
But
and
here's of course,
obviously donor families, too.
Here's a name. Here's a name, but it doesn't mention all this. How about Don't Reject Me? I know that's a big issue with organ transplants is a
rejection. Yeah.
Rejection of the organ.
How long has it been for you, BJ?
It's 21 years for the heart. And we're going on, we'll be 10 years next January for the kidney.
That is amazing.
Wow, that is very amazing. And, that's very cool.
One of the jokes I wrote for BJ that he doesn't use, but he doesn't do it anymore anyway, was the fact that before he could have the transplant, they had to interview BJ's wife, Susan. And they ask you very serious personal questions. As example, is he a drug user? They're not going to give it to a drug user. And they asked Susan, is he suicidal? Because they're not going to give it to somebody that's suicidal. She said, no, he's fine. Now they interview BJ. And they say, BJ, are you a drug user? And he says, no. Then they said, are you suicidal? And he said, no. They said, really? Because we met your wife.
Oh, no.
That's pretty funny.
By the way, Susan hates that joke.
You can open with that. You can open with that. Maybe have your wife on. Maybe have your wife on.
BJ, I will tell you that is a great idea. Now, honestly, you're not doing this for another little check from Gentry. This is something you're serious.
Yeah, trying to get the information. You know.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, that's very cool.
Now we're 10 minutes over.
And that,
see, again, I told you.
You thought we didn't know how to end.
That could be. That could be. Yeah, I have to go. I have a golf game at 2:45. And
I thought that was the name of the podcast. We're 10 minutes over.
I have to. Yeah, that's a good. I have to go to the dentist, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, you have a good time, BJ. Great idea. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Alrighty, it's great seeing you guys.
Let's have a round of applause for everybody. Craig, Nico, Mike Reeve, BJ Odom, Tom Drake, and I'm John Ferrantino. And you can catch us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Transplant this, baby.
The Podcast Playground.
Hooray! Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, ranked in the top 5 for best online bachelor's programs. To learn more, visit asuonline.asu.edu.